Have you ever flown with a crying baby? Flown with a couple of crying babies. Have you ever flown stuck next to someone dealing with a crying baby? Bye bye, baby, baby, goodbye, baby, baby, bye bye. Well, a Japanese airline is unveiling a new tool for tackling the problem, if you want to call it a problem, of crying babies on planes. Passengers will now be able to see where babies and toddlers are seated before they select their seats. It's a vexed issue, this one. I'm a little torn on it. My next guest is an expert in the fine art of flying with a baby. Carrie Bradley is the owner and editor of a blog called Flying with a Baby. It's that big an issue that it deserves a blog or perhaps its own magazine or its own mini-series. Carrie, welcome.
Hi, welcome. Thanks for having me.
So this is an interesting development. This is a Japanese airline that's developed this tool where you can basically select your seats based on where babies and toddlers and little people are sitting. What do you make of it?
I think it's a really interesting concept. I had a background as an ex-flight attendant, and when I had my two, I was still quite apprehensive about flying with them, even though I knew all the industry side and what to expect. So I think for new parents flying for the first time, knowing that the people that potentially could get upset and might give them a look are going to be seated elsewhere could be quite reassuring.
Okay, that's a really interesting way of putting it. You're saying it's not only helpful for the people who don't want to sit next to the little people, but actually for the parents to not feel so guilty.
Exactly. And I think at the moment, I don't think it's going to affect too many people because regular flyers will know that if you're going to go on a long-haul flight, the bassinet icons when you select your seats are already there. And most parents, if their child is going to fit into that bassinet and meet those requirements, then they're going to prefer to choose those seats because then at least their baby might get some sleep. So it's only going to affect those people that maybe have got a child that's a little bit too big for a bassinet, or the people that have just haven't managed to get onto the system. Because I know that if you book directly with Japan Airlines, then the icon will show up. But if you book through a third party, then the icon won't show up. So I think it's just going to be a selective few, so it won't affect too many.
But as a broader idea, are there kind of ethical, if I can put it that way, dangers with this? The idea of saying, oh, I don't want to sit next to, you know, people with children. I mean, isn't that just part of the bargain of life?
Exactly. I mean, I think people have got to be more tolerant. And in my experience, most people really are. And I mean, I've flown long haul with my eldest when she was tiny, without my husband, who's Australian. And everybody was so helpful. I didn't get one single look. In fact, passengers were just falling over backwards. I think most people, from what I've seen about this, have been more up in arms about, well, what about the passenger that drinks too much? What about the noisy stag do? So it's that, and because they understand that babies can't help it if they cry, and normally the parents will do their utmost best to pacify them, whether it's to feed them, change their nappy. Whereas with a grown adult, they know they can behave better, but some don't.
So what are the biggest challenges that you run into when traveling with a baby, or just generally a toddler, like a young child?
I think if you're doing a long haul flight, it's keeping them occupied, because obviously they every few minutes they want something, they want to do something different, and maybe they want to run around like they're used to. So they're not used to being confined in such a small place. So what I recommend is when they're moving is we always actually board last. I let my husband go on first with all the baby gear. I think he secretly likes that alone time for 5 minutes. And then we come along once most of the other passengers are boarded, because I don't think there's any point in keeping them confined in a metal tube any longer than necessary.
Are people changing their attitudes to toddlers and babies? Because I've, throughout my life, heard many people, as soon as they come off a plane, just whinge about crying babies. Do you think, you know, there has been a shift in the way we respond?
I think there's always going to be those people that complain. There are just those sort of types out there. I think they're just people, some people that would complain about anything. But as I said, I haven't noticed any change personally. I mean, when we flew back on a flight about a year ago, there was a lady in front of me. And when we landed, she said, I have to say, I was a little bit nervous when I saw that you had your two sitting directly behind me, but they were so quiet. And I said, well, they're used to it now. And I said, it's a night flight. So I think people might secretly have those fears but may not vocalize it as much. But when they've got a public forum to, when something like this comes out, then people will announce their concerns about it. But then other people will shout them down and say, hey, you were a baby once. People have got to get from A to B. We're such a global community now. As I said, my husband's Australian. I live here. We've got family in Australia. We're not going to go and visit them. It's going to happen. And the world has become a smaller place now.
Carrie, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.